I've been away for the last 2 weeks. I was on vacation. We were celebrating, Melanie and I were celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. Thank you. Went to Miami, ate a lot of delicious food, got sunburned, of course, but we had a great time. So my name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. We're one church in four locations, and it's a joy to have you here this morning and to worship together. And I hope you were blessed by the worship, hearing our little ones sing out, and you got to see my daughter. So I've always enjoyed being able to pray with her and over her. For sure. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you be with us right now in these next few moments. I pray that your Holy Spirit is already here, would fall fresh upon us, that you'd open our ears and open our hearts and apply your word to our lives, that we may be different women and men as we leave this building. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We are currently in our third part of our sermon series called The Good News. And we're looking at the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3 is where we'll be camping out today. But when we talk about Jesus and his ministry and Jesus and the work that he did on earth, and one of the things that comes to mind is the healing, the miracles that Jesus actually performed. Now, I know as a young man, one of the things that drew me to the Christian faith was how God could take a broken person and heal them, not just physically, but he can also heal them emotionally and spiritually. And as a kid, the way I grew up in kind of like a broken family, if you've heard my story, but that's how I saw it. God took my life and he healed me in my situation. And so that to me was always an attractive thing. And I don't know about you, what was it that drew you to the gospel, or what drew you to Jesus for the first time? But that was it for me. It was this, like, God can heal my mind, he can heal my heart, he can heal my family, and he can use me. That's what was exciting to me about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Newton, who's the famed writer who wrote the hymn, you might have heard of it, Amazing Grace, said this about how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, it heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. And so that's where we're going this morning. We're going to look at the gospel. We're going to look at Mark chapter 3. We're going to look at how just the name of Jesus and the ministry that Jesus had on this earth, and he continues to heal and do miracles and revival, and he wants to do that in our lives today. It's the sweet sound to our ear. It heals our wounds, it soothes our sorrows, and drives away fear. I don't know if you have any of those going on this week, but this morning we can leave those here at the foot of the cross, and Jesus wants to use that and bless us for us to follow him and walk in his ways. So the tension, the tension that we feel, the questions that we might ask about the gospel, when we ask about healing and miracles and things like that, does Jesus still heal today? Does Jesus still heal today? And some of us can at first hand can give testimony to that, amen? Some of us have been praying for a long time, but know that God is good even when he doesn't answer right away in our timing, right? And so I want to say this, that I want to just get up front with this and so say this, that Jesus wants to heal you today. Now, that might look different, like a physical ailment. Like my Achilles is gone. I have three, like you've heard the story. It's gone. He's given me pain from that. Feel free, you know, the pain from that is subsiding. It still hurts, to be honest with you. It's a little sore right now, right? But he's given me that healing that has comes with it. So that's what I want us to focus on. Jesus is in the business of restoration. He's in the business of redeeming. And Jesus is in the business of renewing. That is good news. And I want to follow a God who sees me in that light, that he sees me in such a way that he wants to restore, that he wants to redeem, and he wants to renew. How many of you need that here this morning? And so that's our hope and prayer for you as we move forward, as we think about our own lives. And the questions that we have is, God, how will you heal this? Or will you heal this part of my life or this physical ailment? And those are the tensions that we wrestle with. But I just want to say that God does heal, and God is good. He's good all the time. And so we look at Mark chapter 2 within the context of Mark. Mark writes with such a way, he's establishing Jesus' identity to his readers. He's trying to show that Jesus is the Son of God. He's trying to establish his authority. He's trying to tell people that this is what Jesus was like. And so he's in telling this, he's showing Jesus his ability, his power, and authority that was given to him from the Father. And so in Mark chapter 2, we see Jesus and his followers, they're accused of breaking the Sabbath rules. His disciples, his followers, they were accused, particularly Jesus was accused of breaking these rules. And now in the Old Testament, the Sabbath was an important thing. It was the seventh day of the week on which the children of Israel went to rest. And then it was in remembrance that God created the universe in 6 days. And on that seventh day, he rested. How many of you like the Sabbath? I love the Sabbath. If you don't know what Sabbath is, we should talk. But the Sabbath was at the time in the Old Testament, it was important. It was part of who they were. It was part of their identity in the Old Testament. As we move forward, we get from the Old Testament, that 400-year period in between the Old and New Testaments. Then we get to the New Testament. The Sabbath was no longer just the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't just about rest. The Sabbath was about rules. And the Sabbath was about scorekeeping and finger-pointing and doing this type of thing. And so it became part of, it lost its fervor. It lost its meaning in the time of Jesus. And so Jesus came to show that in him there's rest. In Jesus, in a relationship with Jesus and not religion, there's rest. Some of you might need to hear that this morning. Like that we think that in keeping rules and doing the stuff and you're checking attendance and you're reading your Bible, which are all good, by the way, but when those become the means to how you grow in your faith, that's when it becomes religion. So here's the good news. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Jesus wants you to use the Sabbath as a means of developing and becoming more like Jesus. That's what he wants. He wants you to use that Sabbath and not have it become this kind of a, you know, this thing that people worship and rules and regulations, because that's what it became. That's what it became. And so the good news is this, is that Jesus did these three things primarily within the Gospels. He was about preaching. So we look at Gospel of Mark. He was about preaching. He was about preaching what? The good news, sharing the good news, the message of salvation. He was about teaching. He was about teaching people not to just have knowledge of the law or knowledge of the Sabbath, but he was actually wanting them to teach it, to live it out loud in front of others and through God. And then he also wanted to bring about this, and this is where we're going today. Jesus was about healing in the Gospel of Mark. He was about healing people of physical ailments, emotional ailments, and spiritual things. That's what Jesus was about. And so that's the good news. If you're here this morning, you've come in with a lot of baggage. You're like, you have no idea what I came through to get to this building this morning, right? Jesus wants us to rest in him and find a relationship with him. That's the good news. So we're going to turn to Mark chapter 3, verses 1. Mark chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Again, there's this tension with the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're very suspect. They're scratching their chin. You want to do that for me? Scratch your chin. They're like, what's Jesus about? So they're kind of like keeping an eye on Jesus. What is this Jesus about? Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Here we go. Jesus went into the synagogue. The synagogue was like their church in the Old Testament and in the time of Christ. They went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. And since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. Jesus' enemies watched him closely on the Sabbath. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Can you feel the tension and the pettiness here in this verse? He's trying to heal this man, and all they can see is they're going to keep score, but the Sabbath says this, the law says this, and Jesus says, it's about me. This is about me. I'm about healing, and I'm about miracles. And so what we see this, we have this pattern in Jesus' ministry where he's going in the you know, Jerusalem and Galilee regions, and he's going town to town proclaiming the good news. And so people would know when Jesus was coming, and so they would pack into these synagogues to hear him teach. And so when we think about the synagogue, the teachers of the law, they wouldn't be like our ushers that are showing people where to sit, or are people out here in the doors holding doors and pointing our kids where to go. They would have these Pharisees and teachers teachers of the law, they would dress up in this full garb, in this kind of garish type of like flamboyant dress, and they would make their way through the audience, and they would take the best seats in the house, and they wanted people to see them. And it was all about the performance and the fashion show and all these other things. And Jesus is saying they're missing the point. We're going through this pageantry. We're going through this religion. We're going through all these rules. And what I want is your heart. What I want is the surrender of your heart to me. This is what Jesus is challenging them. And so, like, every denomination, every church denomination, every single one has a form of religion. Like, when I was growing up, Mel and I grew up in the church where you had to dress up. Like, you really had to dress up. I had a thing called church socks in my drawer. Like, I had just the church socks section, and I would take those out and get dressed. We'd go to youth group, and we'd have to dress up. The summer camp I grew up at, we would play, and it was hot in the summer. They'd make us wear jeans and not shorts. Like, there was rules and regulations. And so a lot of people, when they think Christian faith, they're attaching all of these rules and regulations. Can you relate? Do you remember a time in your faith? Maybe that was it. But even in a modern context, even in our modern context, we go through the motions. Like, just doing the stuff and being busy, that's not what it's about. Jesus wants to find us in a relationship with him. Did you ever just feel just caught up? You're just caught up and you're always doing the stuff, checking the attendance, serving, doing all this stuff. Those are all good, but really what Jesus wants is that relationship. He wants us to find a healing in him. In verse 2, they were so bound up in their traditions that they kept adding rules to what was in the Old Testament and heaping it and making it more difficult for people to understand what it meant to have a relationship with God. When you hear a teacher give you the gospel plus, that is not the gospel. That is a false teaching. When they're telling you something else than what is in the word, God's word, that is a false teaching. And so Jesus was pushing back against that. And he was saying, the Sabbath was good for rest, but that isn't just it. The other thing is a relationship with God. This is what I want. And so if we all do what is, if we just get caught up in the rules, we're going to miss what Jesus really wants us to be. He wants us about praising him and doing life together. When we get caught up in the rules and regulations, we get caught up in missing out on doing life together. That's what Jesus wants at the heart of this gospel. And so we see also in here, so we see a man at the synagogue who was there, who had a hand, and in his hand he had lost his strength. In one commentary it said this man wasn't born this way. And so his shriveled hand eventually got there and progressed over time. That over time, this man lost strength in his hand. It didn't get that way just like that, but it was a progression of losing his strength over time. And so Jesus, as the only way that Jesus can, he walks into this synagogue, and what does he do? He sees the man. He sees this man. He sees us. And so what I love about Jesus in the Gospels is that when he enters a room, he sees the individual as God sees them, with dignity and respect and created in the image of God and what they could be. And he sees the element that what holds them back. He didn't just see a shriveled hand. He saw someone that was longing for a relationship with God. And so he sees this shriveled hand. Maybe you're here this morning. You're losing strength. Maybe you're losing your faith. Maybe that there's circumstances in your life that are causing you to lose your grip and your strength in your life. Jesus wants to heal you of that. So why was this wrong? This is religious tradition. Again, it was about work. It was all about work, and it was all this works righteousness stuff. And Jesus said, that's not what it's about. It's not about that. And so these regulations really kept them from becoming all that they could. And so Jesus continually, as you read the Gospels, he comes up against it again and again. And the teachers of the law, you can almost hear him give like a sigh, like, oh. You know, just like the tone of voice. I wish you could hear the tone of voice. There's got to be some frustration. I know that if I was Jesus, I would be very frustrated with the teachers of the law. Like, Jesus is in our midst, and he's healing someone, doing good, and you're worried about the rules. When we become worried about the rules and miss the good that what God wants to do, we're missing the point. And so God invites us to have this relationship with us. And so we're all guilty of this. We're all guilty of creating our own rules in our minds, the way church should be. You know, I think that there should be, the preaching should be this long, or the worship set should be this long. We all have this predetermined idea what worship should look like. And so our goal is, here's the goal. The goal is not to get caught up in the stuff. Our goal is to experience God and praise Him. That's the goal. That's why we do what we do. We want you to begin a relationship with Jesus. We want you to grow in your relationship with Him. But when you're caught up in all the tradition and all the other stuff, you're missing the point. And so Jesus says, drop that and follow me. Look at verse 3. This is what it says. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, come and stand in front of me, stand in front of everyone. Excuse me. Verse 4. Then he turned to his critics and asked, I feel like this is where the sigh, like, here we go again, guys. Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save a life or to destroy it? And so Jesus is showing that he's not coming to do away with the Sabbath, but he's saying there's good that needs to be done. And that good comes only through Jesus. Only through Jesus. It's coming through him. And so Jesus, we've said it before, Jesus sees, he cares, and he knows. Jesus sees this man. He sees his ailments. He knows what's going on in the background with the teachers of the law. He doesn't care. He does care, but he's going to push back. And he knows. He knows what's at the heart of this man, this hunger, this desire that he has in his heart to understand who God is. The same is with us this morning. God sees you. He sees you as you are and what you could be. He knows. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows the agony and the long hours and waking up in the middle of the night, looking up at the ceiling, right? He cares. He cares about those details. Do you understand that? That it's a relationship that God wants with you and not this religious stuff and all this other things. He wants that relationship with you. And so I love that. I love that part of that we see that Jesus sees, he cares, and he knows about what we're going through. Maybe some of you need to hear that this morning. That sometimes we feel this way. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I feel this way as a pastor. Sometimes when I say prayers, I feel like they bounce off the ceiling. When I ask for somebody or something to be healed and I don't see it happen, it chips away at me. But I have to lean in and say, just because he doesn't heal or answer my prayer does not negate God's goodness or his mercy or his love. That he still loves us. He sees, he knows, he cares. And so I want to challenge you that if you're struggling with something or you're disappointed with God, that he knows, he sees, and he cares what you're going through. Don't give up. Keep on going. Keep on pursuing God in this area of your life. He is going to bring a healing in his time. I don't know what that looks like. Only he does. And so Jesus sees, he cares, and he knows. What I do love about this is when Jesus encounters anybody in the Gospels, whether it's John 5, the man at the pool of Bethesda, the woman at the well, he calls them out. He goes directly to them, and he calls them out. In front of everybody. He calls them out. He wants them to in front of everybody. He turned to his critics. Like, here's the thing, in the Christian faith, not everybody's going to like us. And that's hard. That's hard for me to accept, too. Like, it's hard to accept. There's going to be critics in our lives. And so we have to, like, as Jesus, he's demonstrating that this is how you deal with it. And so how could they miss this? Like, these critics are missing the point that they're worried about the Sabbath, and Jesus Christ himself is standing in their midst. They're totally missing the point. And some of us, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in all these traditions and regulations and things like that. Jesus is in our midst. The Holy Spirit is moving, but we're so distracted by all the stuff. We miss what God wants to do in our lives. And so he says this. He says, come and stand. He invites the man with the shriveled hand. He says, come and stand. And then he says, hold out your hand. So he calls him out. He calls him to do an action. So there's this step of obedience. There's a step of faith. There's an action step. And you think about your own life. Sometimes when we're stuck or we feel like we need healing, that God is saying, I want you to take that first step of obedience. I want you to take that first step of faith. Maybe what is holding you back from stepping up and coming and standing before Jesus? And then here's the other thing. This is the other thing I like about this story. Jesus says what to him? He says, hold out, stretch out your hand. And anytime you see the, like, stretch out your hand, something big is going to happen. Whether it was through Moses or Elijah or whatever, we see when you're reaching out to God, God is going to do something amazing. Sometimes this, here's the thing. Everybody knows in this synagogue, in this story, in this chapter, this man has a weakness. He has this ailment. And so they see this, and Jesus performs this miracle and heals this man on the spot in front of everybody, right? And so he had to bring his pain. This man had to be vulnerable and step forward in his shriveled hand and bring that forward in front of everybody. And some of us, here's, listen, it's hard for us to be vulnerable with our stuff, with our pain, isn't it? It's hard for us to bring our pain to God because we sometimes don't, like deep down inside, we're like, God, can you really heal me? Or God, will you really answer this? And so what I love about this story, in his obedience, he brought his pain forward and Jesus called him out. The same is with us this morning. Maybe some of you are holding on and holding back. And God is saying, step forward, come out, and stretch out and reach toward me. Reach toward the cross. Reach for healing. Reach for a miracle. Watch what God will do. And so he does. He heals this man. Everyone knows his weakness. And over time, this man lost his strength. See, some of us have been walking with Jesus for so long that we do feel the woodenness of our faith, that we're going through the routine. And Jesus says, I want you to hold out your hand and stretch out your hand. Sometimes God's going to stretch you. Like, do you think it was comfortable for Lily at the Buffalo mission trip? And she stepped out and she stretched. Like, God met her where she was, right? If you do the same, listen, if you stretch out in your weakness, whatever your weakness is, whatever your shriveled hand is, figuratively, spiritually, metaphorically, right? If you're reaching out to God, watch what he will do. What is holding you back from really, truly stretching out and reaching to God? What is holding you back? Is it the fact that you don't believe God is who he says he is? Or he won't do what he says he's going to do? But here's the thing, we've got to step out in obedience and faith and cling to who God is. Verse 5 and 6, it says this, he looked around at them angrily. Jesus is angry. Can you believe that? Angrily, and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to them, hold out your hand. So the man held out his hand and was restored. Say restored. He was restored at once. The Pharisees went away and with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. And so immediately, they weren't there to be changed. They weren't there to have a relationship with God. They were there to follow rules and accuse people. And Jesus' response was one of anger. It's not right. Sometimes as believers, we get angry about things. But we can still be angry and not sin. You think about what Moses did. He got angry, and he hit the rock, and he took credit, and he wasn't able to go in the promised land. That's one of the saddest stories, by the way, to me. But here's the thing, when we get angry, a righteous anger might come upon us. We have to cry out to God in obedience, walking with him to see if he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And God is just and God is merciful. And so even in this time, Jesus was angry. It's interesting to me, what are the things that made Jesus sad? Well, he saw this man on the outcast of society where they were in the synagogue with people who should have had the eyes to see, should have been moved by compassion to help him, but they didn't see him as he was in that condition. What they saw were their arms folded, chin scratching, judgment casting, looking to catch Jesus and blame him. So much you see that as soon as that man's hand was healed, it says immediately they got up and left. They had all they wanted to see. And so they began to plot against Jesus. And so Jesus was angry. He was angry, but he didn't sin. He was sad and he was grieved. There had to have been sorrow that the people that should have seen him as he is, as the Messiah, missed the whole thing. They missed it. Their hearts were hardened. Have you ever had a hard heart? Have you ever had that season in your life where your heart was just like a marble? Don't raise your hand. Appreciate that. That was great. Without raising your hand, we've all felt that way, right? We've all felt that. We've all had hard hearts toward life, toward family, toward our job, toward our church, toward God. We've all been there, right? And so there's this hardness that happens, this callousness. Back in my youth ministry days, I would attempt to play guitar, nothing like Aaron does, and I would get these calluses on my fingertips from pressing so hard. and I still have a few of them. They're still there. But working with some of you, some of the kind of the blue collar guys here, you shake their hands. It's like a baseball mitt. You know, their hands are like calloused over. But over time that happens. It doesn't happen just in an instant. It happens over time with pressure and all these different things. How about this? There's this callousness, and there's also this what's another word for it? These callousness, when you break a bone, this callus hardens on your bone. I know when I had an AC joint injury, the AC joint in my shoulder didn't heal properly. It still snaps and cracks. So over time, it just didn't heal properly. And so there's this hardening, there's calcification that happens to us. And when we let that go and we don't deal with the things in our hearts and we don't soften our hearts and we don't seek God, callousness begins to form in our hearts spiritually. Hard hearts begin to happen in our hearts spiritually, toward others, toward life, toward God. And here we see this situation where Jesus and Mark says, hey, I want to come and break that. I want to break that hardness of heart. I don't want you to be callous like these teachers of the law. And so he heals this man on the Sabbath. And so they're worried about the Sabbath. Jesus is showing that his identity is God's son, the healer that can perform miracles and bring revival. That's what he wants to do in you today. Do you hear that? That whatever you're dealing with, a hardness of heart, I don't know what that is. God wants to bring healing into your life. What is rubbing you the wrong way? What is not healed in your life? Can you think about those things in your heart? That's the question I want you to think about. What is been rubbing you the wrong way, and what is fractured but not healed properly? And so in our lives, whatever that is, it could be a relationship. It could physically be something when your dog headbutts you. It could be something like that. God wants to heal you of that. He wants to heal you of that. And so that's what I love about Jesus. There's good news that no matter what we're dealing with and the situation that's rubbing us the wrong way, and maybe there's something in our life that isn't healed properly, that Jesus wants to bring healing upon that thing in your life and those relationships in your life. In your emotional state, he wants to bring healing in your life. And so what he asks us to do is this, to step forward and to stretch out to him. And so what keeps us from stretching out and moving forward is fear, I believe. I think fear is that thing that holds us back. So he wants to heal those mindsets. He wants to heal those things in our lives over and over again. But we pull back. We don't step out and go to God. Matthew 11 says this. Jesus told them to go back to John and tell them what they had heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those who with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life. The good news is being preached to the poor. And tell John, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. And so again, Jesus is fulfilling Old Testament prophecy in Scripture in the midst of the teachers of the law now to point to us to have a relationship with him. It's a beautiful thing. And so we see other instances of healings in the Gospel of Mark. You could take a picture of this if you want. I'm not going to go over all eight of these. But there are instances when Jesus saw something that was fractured or calloused or hardened in someone's life. The healing of the paralytics, the healing of blindness, the cure of leprosy, and so on and so forth. Over and over again, we see Jesus, the heart of who he is, what he's like. He desires to bring healing and restoration, and we see it time and time again. But what happens is that we become so familiar with these stories, that's all we see them as, is stories. But here's the thing, God is in the business of redeeming us now, today. Do you believe that? God wants to heal you of what you're going through right now. Jesus came to fulfill the Old Testament to provide forgiveness. Forgiveness from our sins, from the forgiveness of what we're dealing with. He wants to bring fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophet said and the will of the Father. And then also he wants us to walk in freedom now. He wants us to have that glorious freedom now in our relationship with him and not to be held back by that. And so as we see this, we see all those things, forgiveness, fulfillment, and freedom that Jesus is offering in all of those instances. Does everyone get healed? Does everybody get healed that ever prays those prayers? You know the answer. No, they don't. I have prayed for people and things that they just haven't been healed. That people have passed away. But I know they're in a better place if they have a relationship with God, right? There's extremes out there. I want to caution you on that sometimes people say, well, you don't have enough faith. If someone tells you that, walk away. Just walk away. That's nonsense. That's not how God operates. If someone says that God doesn't heal anymore, I'm going to say, don't listen to that. God does heal. I've known people who've had cancer and their cancer has been healed. I've known people that have dealt with like broken marriages and that needs healing and those marriages have been restored. And so you cannot tell me that God is not in the business of redeeming and restoring and bringing about healing. God wants to do that in your life today. He wants to do that today. And so please, listen, the God in his own timing, and only that healing comes in and through Christ. It's not of your own strength. It's not a magic trick. You know, it's not it's through God. It's through the Holy Spirit. That's where the healing comes. And that's what I want you to see is that restoration, this reestablishing of what Jesus wants the good news to be about. He wants to do his best work on the brokenness that we all face. He's still in the business of restoration in our lives. And so this man had to believe and he was called to obey. The same is with us this morning. We're called to believe in Christ, believe in Jesus for all who he says he is, and then we're called to obey. The obedience happens when you walk out those doors. The obedience happens Monday through Saturday. That's what happens. That's what God wants for us. And so as we see in verse 6, there's this turning point in the ministry of Jesus. That as he continues to heal and proclaim the good news, now the teachers of the law are trying to get him arrested and ultimately killed. And so Mark captures that. And he continues to see, you get to see the way Jesus moves and ministers and loves and preaches the good news to the people on the fringe of society. He begins to proclaim that. And he's pointing forward to us. And I love that about who Jesus is. Mark 7 through 8 says this. Jesus went out to the lake with his disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over the Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, from the east of the Jordan River, and then from far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide. Vast numbers of people came to see him. And so as Jesus' popularity and his ministry, the news about who he was and who he is grew, people were coming all over the place to be with him. And so there's this time that it is, what was Jesus about? What was his goal? Well, his goal was about, he had a mission from the Father. He had a gospel, a good news to proclaim, to give to people that were desperately in need to hear it, that were spiritually broken, that were physically broken, emotionally broken. And that's what he was coming to do. And he did that with such purpose. He did that with such purpose. And so I love this, that when people are far from God, God is no longer exciting to them, is he? When you're far from God, like church becomes a drag. Like, I really don't want to go here, right? When you're far from God, like you're not reading your scripture, right? When you're far from God, you're not in relationship with one another. When you're far from God, you're going to blame God or you just won't have anything to do with them. Here's the thing. The good news is this, is that God wants you to come back to him. Whatever you're dealing with, your brokenness, your just numbness, whatever that is, he wants you to come to him. He wants you to deal with that hardened heart. He wants you to deal with those issues that you have going on inside you right now. He wants you to do that. He wants you to come to him. And I love this. I'm going to invite Aaron up. That as he went up to the mountainside, he'd go up. Anytime you see in the Bible where it says they went up to a mountain, something spiritual, something amazing, something in a God moment is going to happen. And so Jesus, in Mark 3, 13 through 15, it says this. Afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain, and he called out the ones he wanted to go with them. And they came to him. Verse 14. Then he appointed the 12 of them and called them his apostles. They were to accompany him, and he would send them out to preach, and giving them authority to cast out demons, and these are the 12 he chose. Do you see what Jesus did here? He demonstrated what he was about. He demonstrated the love of the Father. He demonstrated the good news about this relationship and not a religion. He called those that he wanted to pass along and give his authority to. And he appointed them his apostles. He appoints us as over followers of him. He appoints us to do the ministry. We get to do the ministry of the church. He wants us to know that we're not alone. He accompanies us. He sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. And so when you don't know what to do and you're stepping out in faith and courage, know that you're not alone, that the Holy Spirit is there to help you learn and to guide and take that step further. And then there was this authority that was transferred over, that as the disciples saw him interact with the teachers of the law, and he goes up on that mountain, he passes the authority to do the ministry to the people, to the disciples. And so as we deal with our hearts and our hard hearts and our callousness, and we surrender our lives to him, and we do business with God, he wants us to give us authority to go out and proclaim and tell other people about that good news. Now you get to tell somebody, hey, this is what happened in my heart. The hardness I had in my heart, I dealt with it this way, and Jesus met me here, and he healed me. And you get to go out and tell your story, which is new, unique to you. And God wants you to use that, like a fingerprint or the retinas in your eyes. It's unique only to you. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. That Jesus' healing ministry of the good news still exists today. It does. It does. It looks different than we might think. And it's hard to know the ways of God. But we know that God is good and God is love and God is with us. Amen? That he appoints us, that he accompanies us, and he gives us his authority to go forward in our relationship with him. And so I'm asking you this morning, that if your relationship has been hard and you're just kind of hard-hearted right now, I want you to take that step out and make that move to God. Go to him once again. Ask for God to give you the grace to deal with what you're going through. Maybe some of you here this morning don't know who Jesus is, and you want to know. You want to be healed of that baggage, and you want to recommit your life, maybe for the first time, or maybe it's the second time that you've done this. But here's the thing. When we choose Jesus, we become one of the chosen. When Jesus called to him, when he called out to them, they followed him. When Jesus is inviting you this morning or any part of your life, will you take up and answer that call? Because Jesus demands a response. He's always going to. Will you choose him? Or will you choose your hard heart? Or will you choose your callousness and your bitterness? Or will you let that go and surrender and say, God, I choose you, because you already chose me and you went to the cross and dealt with that. Jesus is calling us, church, look. Jesus is calling us to stretch out toward him, to stretch out your withered hand, your pain, your callousness. Stretch that out to him and say, God, heal me. Whatever that is, whatever I'm dealing with, deal with that. So let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray with heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord. I just pray right now that if a room this size, there's got to be hard-heartedness here. There's got to be people dealing with callousness and bitterness. Lord, will you, as we stretch out our hands to you, would you heal those hearts that are hardened, that are callous, that are bitter? Would you give us your joy, your peace, and your grace? Would you replace those things with that love, that peace, that joy? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now, Lord, that they would know that they're appointed to do the things you've called them to do, that you have accompanied us with your Holy Spirit, and you've given us your authority to go forward in confidence. And so if you prayed that prayer this morning, you're just gonna that's a recommitment. You're gonna recommit your life. You're gonna deal with the hardness of your heart. Just raise your hand without heads bowed, eyes closed. You're gonna recommit today. Just raise your hand. Say, Jesus, I recommit to you. I'm stretching out my hand right now as an act. I see those hands. Good, keep them going. That's good. Jesus wants to heal you of that. And then I also want to say a prayer this morning for those of you that may not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future. And you want to know what it's like to be healed. Maybe that's you. You've never heard him. I just want to say a prayer with you. You'd like to accept Jesus for the first time. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now. I pray for those that raise their hand. I just pray, Lord, that you would help them understand that you don't call them to follow rules or to follow all these different things, but Lord, you come to have a relationship with us, Lord, that you came to deal with that sin problem in our lives, Lord, that if we would believe in you, that you would follow, that you call us to follow you. So I pray for the commitment level, that they would just, Lord, that they would surrender their lives and follow you. So I pray right now that you be with those that don't know you for the first time, Lord, that you would welcome them into your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. So Heavenly Father, I just pray one right now. I just pray right now. Lord, help us, whatever we're dealing with in our hearts, that we would do business with you. Lord, that we would soften and become more like you, that we would look like you and less like ourselves. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.